right, resurrection. So we're going to talk about resurrection. We are going through the Apostles' Creed. So like we've been doing for the last few weeks. And I want to continue that this morning. And we're going to talk about, so Jesus resurrected. So in a little over a month, we're going to be celebrating Easter. And so we have a great Easter message for you on that date. And so this year you get two Easter messages. Amen. And so as we're plotting our way through the creed, this is just where it fell. And but we're going to go ahead and talk about resurrection this morning, that Jesus was resurrected on the third day. Amen. And so when we talk about the resurrection, we talk about this is the center part of our faith. What we believe as Christians, that Jesus bodily died on the cross that we talked about last week. He carried our sin on the cross. And that 3 days later, that Jesus rose from the dead. It's actually not just the center point of our faith. It's the center point of history. It's the greatest single event that happened on the planet, right? That Jesus rose from the dead, bodily rose from the dead. Didn't spiritually rise from the dead. He bodily rose from the dead. He ate with his disciples, touch and feel like he's risen. Amen. And so we actually, the scriptures say that without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. So this is huge part. This is like the centerpiece of our faith, is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So just for those apologetics, I'll hit this a little bit. But you know, when we talk about the resurrection, there's really no argument. There's no real argument out there that says that after 3 days that the people were saying that the body of Jesus was gone. That is not a real argument. There's no realistic person who studies history that the common word on the street during that time, 3 days after Jesus, his death, that he was seen and risen. That is a historical, you know, not even just biblical, but historical fact, that that's a part of history, that 3 days after Jesus, his body is gone, and the disciples and people around him are claiming that they see him. So that's historical, right? That's a historical fact, right? So, and what's amazing is, what's amazing is that in the early centuries, like when Jesus rose, so we're talking about, 30, 35 AD, right? So about in AD 350, you're talking about a movement, if you will, of the resurrected Jesus that started with a few people that Jesus, you know, that Jesus had rallied around, the resurrected Jesus, and those 3,000, right, on Pentecost. Now we're talking 350, a little over 300 years, 30 million people are believers in the resurrection. And just that's how fast this thing exploded onto the scene, right? So you see, I was studying about all the different prophets that people would say that they had died, right? They're all these prophets. And then this Jewish guy in Acts chapter 5 and verse 38, and they're talking about this thing. Like there have been other prophets who have said they're great prophets, right? And so all of a sudden these Jewish people are starting to see the momentum of this resurrected Jesus movement happening, right? And so this is what this Jewish guy says. He says, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone." Talking about these new Christians. "Let them go. If they purposely or activity is of human origin, it will fall. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Right? So when we talk about the truth of Jesus rising from the dead, like this, if Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, like this movement, right, would have just fallen away. Like all the other prophets that have come in this time before them. So the fact that this, there's a lot of things that prove, like the fact that there's all this circumstantial evidence, right, that Jesus rose from the dead. This is one of them, right, that the movement didn't stop, right? So the fact that it spread so fast is a testament. The fact that people had to come up for a reason why the body was missing is a testament, right? You know, and like, you have to understand, like, people didn't start doubting, like, So when the Enlightenment period comes, people would say, well, logically, because we're enlightened, logically, there's, you know, you don't rise from the dead. Like, that is not new thought, Enlightenment period. Like Aristotle and Plato and all those guys knew that people didn't rise from the dead, right? That's not new thought, right? So then this fact that all these apostles died or were tortured, they wouldn't have died or were tortured for a lie. I don't know about you, but if you're John and you're boiling in oil, I'm just kidding. Let me out, right? Like if it's a lie, how do you let people crucify you upside down? How do you allow people to impale you? How do you allow people to burn you at the stake, right? All of these ways that these apostles died, they would not have died for a lie. They saw Jesus raised. And for me, the biggest fact is that we have over 2,000 years of people's lives being impacted by the resurrected Jesus still today, all the way up until this curly-headed guy from Marietta that's 6,500 miles away from where this all happened, and 2,000 years later, his life has been completely impacted. And he continues. How do I know Jesus rose? Because he continually changes me. Continually, right? How do I know that Jesus rose? Because he lives in me, right? So let's read this scripture. So what is this? All of that said, in Ephesians chapter 2, what does this mean for us? Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now works in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. So here we see this. We talked about last week the effects of sin, and we talked about sin not just being you're the bad person. No, when God created us as humans, right? He created us and to be his image, right? And his likeness. And so when sin came into the world, we became less than what God intended us to be, right? So what is sin? Sin is basically operating less than, it's missing the mark we talked about. And what happens is when we do that, we separate ourselves from the very life of God, because life is found in him. Amen? If life is found in him, all of life sprung from God. And in him we live. We talked about this scripture last week. In him we live and move and have our being. In him. Right? But that sin, when it separates us, when we go off and we do our own thing, we're separated from the life of God. No wonder Paul says the wages of sin is death. Right? So, but when we put God, while we were in that state, see, God is not the God who's just mad and wrathful and ready to smite you, right? He's the God who is in his great mercy, right? It doesn't say for God hated you so much that he had to send Jesus. No, it says for God so loved us, loved you, that he sent Jesus to repair that barrier between you and him. But he's also, so God's great love that we were born to walk in a new nature. Now, this is where it gets really great. Like, because we were, it says that not only was Jesus raised, but the Bible says that somehow in the way all works, we were raised up together with him. We were raised out of our dead state. If you were, you brought up in some, in a Baptist church, a lot of times they were said, when you get baptized, right? You were buried, they say this a lot of times, they'll say this when you get baptized. You were buried in like Jesus, and you were raised to walk in newness. Amen. Good Baptist in here. Yeah, so that's the truth. So you were raised to walk in newness of life. Like, listen, this changes everything. Like, you now, like, I don't know about you, but like, when I was living away, when I was away from God, I didn't care about my sin. Are you kidding me? I didn't have any desire. Like, there was no secret desire for me to stop doing all the crazy nonsense I was doing. I was having a blast, right? But I was also separated from the life of God. There's something missing on the inside of me, right? So then I'm raised to walk, and all of a sudden, something happens different on the inside of me. All of a sudden, I get this thing, and what we now know, that I now know, is called conviction. But now there are these things and when I go to do them, I go, I can't, there's something wrong. It's like petting a cat backwards. That's exactly the way it feels. You're like, no, there's just something wrong. I was like, I never felt that before. So what's great is, like, I want this morning, just in this area, I want you to maybe see, like, conviction, like, in a different way. Maybe conviction is not just, you've been so bad. I'm not talking about guilt. I'm not talking about shame. I'm talking about the conviction of God that woos you towards God because God is trying to get his life in you. That conviction where God says, hey, don't go down that path because the wages of sin are really death. Don't speak those negative things out to your wife because that brings death into your marriage. Amen? Like, so when we talk about, like, God is wooing us, like, conviction. So what you should do? This is crazy. You should embrace that conviction because you know it's the goodness of God drawing you to himself, drawing you back to help you walk, to be raised and walk in this newness of life. It says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So let me just make this announcement real quick as I'm doing this message, that I have actually, my good friend Larry, Pastor Larry Baker down here, has let us use his baptism. And so we have access to his baptism. So I want to put it out there. So I didn't tell Charlene this, but either come to me or come to Charlene. She's not in the room. Sorry. Awkward. Or see Julie. If you want to be baptized, we're going to set up a date where we're going to do a baptism over there at his, because we don't have a baptismal facility here. So amen. So if God has been wrecking your life in a good way, right? If he's been doing something and you want to get baptized, let us know. Because we want to show the world, right? Show everybody who's in attendance that day that you've been buried with Christ and you're up and walking in a newness of life. Amen? So now that we've been raised, here's where it gets dicey. Here's what we don't like, but we're going to go here anyway. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. A little lengthy scripture, but you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. It says, since you have been raised with Christ, if you're in this room, and you call yourself a believer, you believe that Jesus died for your sin, and he's raised you up to walk in newness of life, right? He has raised you up. He says, since you have been raised, there's a command for us. Set your hearts on things where above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Christians, amen? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We'll get to that in a few weeks. Then he says this, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. Oh, we're going to talk about that? Oh, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then he says this, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all of such things, such as, and he goes on, he has another list. Paul likes his lists. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with these practices and have put on a new self. You hear that? You've put off your old self and you're putting on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Aren't you glad that you're being renewed? Amen. Slave or free. It says here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, I don't even know how to pronounce it, slave or Greek, but in Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and, love this, dearly loved, clothe yourself. Now, what do? Don't just stop doing bad things. Clothe yourself with what? Compassion. Christian, how's your compassion level? Kindness. Humility. I'm going slow, so pick your one, right? Or maybe it's just all of them. Gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So he says, clothe yourself. What is that walking in newness of life? It's a lot of things. It's putting off the old. When I become a Christian, I'm raised in Christ. Glory to God. My sins are forgiven, right? I'm able to walk in freedom that I never walked before, right? And the life of God flows in my body and into my life, right? It flows into my marriage. It flows into relationships because of the life of God. But because I put off all of these other things. Remember, Christianity is not just a list of the don'ts, right? He says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. See, this is what God called us into. He hasn't just called us. He hasn't just called us to be right. He hasn't called Christians just to be right. He's called us to live in his image. And he's called us to walk the way he would want us to walk. And putting off all of those things. Right? These things are important. Especially when we go off into a world who really knows better what to expect from Christians sometimes than we do. Gosh, sometimes I just say things. You ever been called out by a non-Christian? I have. Yeah, it's not fun. I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, I totally just yelled about that other guy. Yeah, totally. Right? Like we're supposed to be being changed into his image. Right? So let me ask you, like, where is this? So we are throwing off the old self. It's not just, be a Christian and, like, in my day, it was be a Christian and stop drinking and stop smoking, right? Stop cussing. You know, there's a whole lot more than following Jesus than just stop drinking and stop smoking. Like, those are, like, so far down on the list, right? It's called walking in kindness as Jesus walked, compassion. You know what's great about the Hope Center? Because they have compassion when that girl walks in those doors. There's compassion for the girl, for the baby. And I love it. I love it. Even though they may choose to have an abortion. What's great is we're right there for you too. We want to be there to help you process that. Amen. I love it. I love it.